Gigit, sponsored by Shillaga Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
Yes, indeed. Time for Dig It. And Hester's here. We are talking about last-minute gifts that are perfect for those in your life that love gardening. And we've got a great last-minute gift to give away today on the show. Hester, welcome back. Our last show of the year.
Yeah, I'm feeling sort of all nostalgic and sad and happy all at the same time for all the shows we've done already this year. This one's going to be a cracker.
All right. Well, don't panic too much. We're going to continue next year. It's all good. We'll continue in 2022. But you've got some great ideas. Before we can get there, we've got to get through Christmas. So talking about gifts to give to gardeners near and far, which is great. You've thought about if maybe we are sending gifts for a long, long way. So first of all, let's look at our prize that we've got from Shillaga Garden Centre this month. What are we giving away today?
It is pretty nice. I'd really like to win this myself, but apparently, according to like the law, I can't.
But we've got a clause in the contract
somewhere. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a pair of secateurs and an apron from Bergen & Ball. Now, Bergen & Ball is a very well-known British company who make all kinds of gardeners' equipment, like, you know, seed planting things and ways to make paper pots and things like that. And they're well-known for being very good quality, very long-lasting, very robust. The apron is a kind of nice striped apron with leather straps for it, and would be great for if you're in the garden or if you want to wear it indoors as well. That would be excellent. And the secateurs are a very robust pair of snips, so they'll cut probably up to rose stems, but I probably wouldn't try them on very woody massive material because you'll wreck them and your wrist.
They look really classy.
They're
though.
Very nice. They would make a lovely gift. So even if you don't want them for yourself and you'd like to be a very, very generous friend to a gardener, I would go in for the competition and you can give them to somebody else.
It's very kind. I will make sure that we just drop a little picture actually of those on our Instagram and Facebook pages because I think people will want to see those. We're going to ask you today quite simply, name a type of Christmas tree if you want to get into the draw for those for our festive themed giveaway. All you do, any type of Christmas tree. You can get creative if you really need to. I probably won't say that any answer is wrong. Hester, let's look at some gifts that we can give away. What do you think of, first of all, if you have a gardener you want to buy something for, what do you, as a pro, someone in the industry, what do you think about giving?
Well, I quite like a nice card that I could frame or put up in my study. I have a friend who always sends me homemade Christmas cards with photographs that she's taken. I really treasure those and I've got them all over my study because I think they're really beautiful prints. Now, there's a Swiss artist called Ava Hensel who makes botanical themed prints of flowers and all sorts of other things. And I'll show you. This one is a lemon. And if you go to the site nisple.com and look for Ava Hensley, you can buy them. They're absolutely beautiful. She does
That's
a lot
cool,
of work on dark backgrounds. So I'm showing Kat a beautiful picture of two lemons done on a black background. It honestly looks very 3D, like you should be able to kind of reach in and pluck it out. And she has a whole series where she mixes fruit and vegetables and kind of produce from her own garden with Christmas baubles.
I think that'd make for a really classy kitchen.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
They're absolutely
Those
beautiful.
Framed in your kitchen.
They
be beautiful.
Are. I like the fact that she's Swiss. They're obviously, you can have them posted or you can buy them here and then post them yourselves. They're only £5 for an A5 card, and it's a really kind of solid A5 type of card. And I think that's really very reasonable. £5 is not a lot.
I like the fact that you're not necessarily going too literal on this, of this is a gift for a gardener. It is a thing for the garden. What else have you come up with, maybe for somebody that's slightly closer in Switzerland, perhaps?
Well, I came across this brilliant company called the Goba, G-O-B-A, drinks company. And they make small batch artisanal gins, non-alcoholic spirits, non-alcoholic syrups, all sorts of things. They're based in Appenzell. And most of all of the botanicals are collected locally, apart from one that I really, really like the look of, but it was 10 o'clock in the morning when I met them. So I didn't try it, but it smelt amazing. It's called the Botanical Garden Gin, made with plants collected from the gardens of the Swiss Gardens Hotels Group. And if you look them up, the Swiss Gardens Garden Hotels Group. They are very, very, very nice. Very, very luxurious. Lovely if you fancy a little weekend. But the gin looked absolutely fabulous. So if you want to go and go to them, it's the Gobert Drinks Company. And if you want to have a non-alcoholic Christmas, which lots of people are interested in these days, they have loads of great non-alcoholic alternatives to aperitifs, bitters, all sorts of things. If you fancy taking it a bit more lightly this Christmas, they would be the people to look for. And they're local as well. They're only in Appenzell.
Once again, what's the name?
Gobert. G-O-B-A. And their website is goba-welt, W-E-L-T .ch. You can also buy them locally in Geneva at Querelle Boisson Les Frères Papineau or Stockies. But you just go to their website and click on the canton that you're interested in and it'll come up with a list of whoever you want. And usefully, then a click through to the people that you want to buy them from. Brilliant.
I look forward to receiving my botanical garden gin, Hester. Where's my Christmas present?
Absolutely.
Come on.
Absolutely.
All right, we are going to be looking at lots of different gifts, with literal gardening gifts, things that you can use in the garden, great plants, also great books perhaps that you might be looking at towards sending, if you're maybe looking at sending a little package further afield. Stay tuned, you're listening to Dig It.
Dig It, sponsored by Schilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Schilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Talking to Hester about some great gifts for gardeners. And, well, last month we talked about things that you could make and craft and do. And now, well, the pressure is on and we've got to turn this around a little bit quicker. So things that we can just ultimately buy and make the gardeners in our life happy. Those near and far, what do you send someone that really just wants to be active in the garden? Like good kits, that kind of thing?
There are some really lovely ones. I picked out one from a Finnish Swiss company called Mustika, M-U-S-T-I. IKKA.ch, and they have a beautiful selection of gorgeous Finnish children's clothes, adults' clothes, homewares. But one of the things I really, really liked from the Finnish brand Lil Plot, they have chocolate, lemon, eucalyptus, or pomegranate trees that you can plant yourselves and they will grow. And if they don't grow, they give you your money back or send you some more seeds. How cool is that?
That's quite nice. So you can send that to someone further afield,
perhaps? Yeah, you can send it further afield as long as it complies with their phytosanitary restrictions. So that means not Australia. But almost everywhere else.
There it is, right. Sorry, Australia. What about for really keen garden designers? Hester, you are a garden designer. So straight all the way from concept. What about for garden designers?
So I've had my eye on this book for a while, and this is a reissue of a colour theory book actually for florists. I've looked at it and looked at it and thought, you know, I might get this to work with my clients to help them to define their colour palettes. Colour theory is really important in the garden. It can help make a garden feel energised and exciting, make it feel cool and calm and relaxing. And if you're clever with colours, you can make them look like they're coming forwards or receding. There's all sorts of tricks that you can pull off. And you can often have interesting conversations with clients. You say, red is quite a common one. I don't like red. And I actually think, well, does that mean pinky red? Does that mean some of the bluey reds? Which bits of red don't you like? And they may be thinking of one particular plant that they don't like. And this book, which is really, really fabulous, but published by Fiden, and it's from Darek and Michael Putnam, I would say it is gorgeous for a coffee table. And it's called All You Need to Know About Colour Theory. Pretty much does what it says on the tin. And I like it because it's got colour strips inside it. It's got... that you can detach and show to your clients and say, do you like this? Do you like this colour? What about this combination?
What about this red? Come on.
Yeah. Do you really mean this red or this yellow or this orange when you say, I don't like orange?
And is this book specifically about flowers as well?
It's for florists, really. It's a floristry book and it's about creating... I mean, these people do the flowers for Beyoncé, so I think they probably know what they're doing. They're kind of society florists. So some of the designs and some of the combinations are really out there and you wouldn't necessarily use them yourself, but you can steal all of the ideas and all of the colour combinations, think, well, actually I really like these three things together, and reuse them in your own creations, not just with floristry but also in the garden.
Other gift ideas, something that's very appropriate for the cold temperatures that we are seeing now.
I would quite like a warming winter waistcoat. I have actually turned into my English grandfather. There are some really wonderful thermal waistcoats with a little battery pack on the inside to keep you cosy. My friend Lottie, who makes candles, Lancel candles, which are wonderful, was working in a very, very, very cold workshop for a long time. She has one of these and I have tried it on and I want one. There are dozens of brands, so I'm not going to suggest one in particular, but I have to say, if you know somebody size, they are not very expensive, under 100 francs, and I would treat your gardening friend or anybody who works in a cold environment to one of these. They are absolutely fantastic.
Sounds like the type of thing I would mock, and then I'd try it on and go, oh, this it's is lovely. So warm.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, let's carry on talking in just a moment about deco, different kinds of decorations that we can get as well. Maybe just offering something as simple as a Christmas bauble, but with a garden theme. Stay tuned.
Dig It, sponsored by Schillinger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Schillinger, let your inspiration grow.
Schillinger have given us a lovely prize to give away today. And to get into the draw, all you need to do is name a type of Christmas tree. Send it in studio@worldradio.ch or text me 939 on the text. Start your message off with WRS. That's all you need to do. If you want to see what the prize is, well, you can look on our Instagram or Facebook page now. But Hester, what have they given us to give away today for our
They've
competition?
Given us a gorgeous pair of Bergen and Ball accessories. That's an apron and there's a really lovely pair of secateurs. And if you don't know who Bergen and Ball are, they're a British, really wonderful company who make all kinds of garden accessories that will more than equip you for your springtime in the garden to come.
Or give away as a lovely gift.
Yeah,
that's
a good idea.
So as well as giftage, though, I'd like to talk about decoration. I think decorations make nice gifts, too.
They do.
And then you can every year maybe bring out the decoration that somebody has given you. It's a nice little token.
Yeah.
Not something massive, but a little token. Hester, you have made me laugh with the decoration that you have found today. Honestly, this is ridiculous. Tell me what it is.
Would you like a Christmas bauble greenhouse from Graham and Green? Not only is it see-through, there's little wellies outside the greenhouse.
That was so high-pitched. It's amazing. But just to clarify, this is a bauble.
It's a bauble in the shape of a greenhouse. It's glass. And it's absolutely gorgeous. And I saw this. If you don't subscribe, there's a brilliant blog called Tigers Are Better Looking, who round up all kinds of things, recipes, books, clothes, all sorts of stuff. And it drops into your inbox on a Friday just for a dose of entertainment and gorgeousness. And they picked this out a few weeks ago. And I thought, oh, I love this. I want it.
I hope you've got this. It's only $5.95.
It's only $5.95 plus postage. In fact, I'm getting one for my mum.
A tiny little glass bauble that looks like a greenhouse with wellies outside and a spade inside, all sorts. It's
quite gorgeous,
it's quite
aren't
intricate.
They?
So a nice little a little touch maybe that you could offer for somebody that likes gardening.
It's from Graham and Green, grahamandgreen.co.uk, and you can look. And I have to say, they have some nice stuff.
I've asked you as well for presents for animal lovers. Now, of course, you can just head to the animal section in your favourite garden centre.
You can, and you should find lots of nice things there.
Yes, indeed. But you've got one for animal lovers and bird watchers.
Yeah, so Ava Solo, which is a very good company, make all sorts of things from glasses and homewares. They have a particularly nice range of bird houses and bird feeders. So you can choose from those little balls that go on a stick, which you can then put within a border so the nervous birds, like goldfinches and things you don't like to be out in the open, they can sit in another shrub or a tree and watch to check there's no predators and then jump onto the bird feeder and jump out again. There are some that can clip onto windows, which I really like. So if you want to get up close and personal with a piece of glass between you and the birds, you can. It's really fantastic. But they're particularly useful because they're all easily dismantleable and washable, which is not necessarily the case. And you do have to wash and you do have to keep them clean to reduce the risk of pests and diseases transferring from bird to bird.
I know that you did say that we were going to talk about just gifts that we could buy, something really nice and simple, but a wreath for the birds isn't that difficult.
No, it's really not. And in fact, I'm knocking a few together this week for using in a workshop this weekend. All you need, you can either use grasses, which you can bend round into a circle and then you can wind them with raffia or with string or with wire. You can also use anything like willow, anything that bends really into a circle. Wind several of those around together. And then you can attach almost anything. They love apples or apple slices, bird cakes, which you can make yourself from coconut oil and oats. You can use anything like that, or old breakfast cereals that have gone a bit stale. Squidge them in together. That'd be great. Or peanut butter smeared pine cones. They absolutely love those. They go completely nuts for them. Or bacon fat, and just keep it topped up all winter, because the birds, once they know that there's food there, they will keep coming back and they don't waste energy looking for food somewhere else.
When we look at this time of year, quite a lot of people are travelling. They are heading home. I know that we've got lots of listeners that were looking forward to maybe a trip back to the UK to see family and are now not going. We've got lots of messages about that. So I asked if we could have a little look at perhaps gifts that could be sent from the UK. Very briefly, we just got a couple of ideas.
Do you want to really, really go fancy and lovely?
Go on.
Something from Fortnum & Mason, maybe.
Oh, that is fancy.
So they've got a gardener's kit, and it's only UK, and it's in a little greenhouse, a little metal greenhouse. I have to say, I saw this and thought, oh yeah, I definitely want that. It's got a hand cream, a bubble bath, and a pack of wildflower seeds, and they are absolutely, it's under £30.
So for something, maybe if you're not going back to the UK and you thought you might be to see family, then that could be a nice present that you could send direct from the website.
Yeah, exactly.
To somebody. That's nice. Hester, stay with us. We've got lots more to cover, and in fact, we're going to be answering your questions. Send them in studio@worldradio.ch.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan Les Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
I promised we'd get to listener questions. Hester, a few have come in. Are you ready to tackle them?
Okay, let's go.
Okay, first question came in from Judy. This was last week that it actually came in, before the snow hit. And she says, you may recall earlier this year I asked about planting micro clover to protect our lawn. So their gardener sowed some clover seeds in September and said, don't walk on this. Now they've got leaves all over their mini clover, micro clover lawn. She said, shall we attempt to remove these using a blower, even though that would mean walking on the bare seeded earth that the gardener said not to walk on? Or do we wait until spring, when we just asked them to re-sow the leaves because it got too cold too quickly?
Yeah,
essentially.
So the clover didn't germinate, and so the little seeds are all still there.
Yeah.
So I say, well, currently I just leave it, because I think the snow will be acting as a lovely little blanket on top of the leaves, and just leave it. I would wait for it to dry out a lot, and that might be March,
right,
before you blow the seeds off. Because to be honest, if they haven't germinated by October, they're not going to germinate till next year, and you may have to spot. Do additions too. You may find there's one chunk of, you know, a couple of square meters where nothing is happening.
Yep.
So your gardener should come back in kind of March when the soil temperature starts to warm up a bit and reseed on top.
That's probably quite good news. I hope you didn't get the leaf blower, because ultimately those leaves will be making a nice little blanket to protect
them
from
the
ice.
Just leave them,
cold.
They'll be fine.
Moving on, we've got one from Tom, a question from Tom, who said, I've bought my new fig tree into the garage as instructed by the supplier. How often do I have to water it when it's in the garage? Can I also take cuttings from it, and if so, when?
Oh, that's a good question. So I would say water it. I would let the plant tell you. It should start to drop its leaves unless you've accidentally not let it go dormant by bringing it into the garage. But if it's an unheated garage, you know, it's down to probably 5 or something, it should drop its leaves, in which case it won't be photosynthesizing. So once a month, it's probably enough. Once every 2 weeks, have a look at it. I mean, if the soil is bone dry, then you might need to up it a bit. But otherwise, you know, just let it tell you when it needs it. In terms of taking cuttings, normally they say just before dormancy breaks, which is not very helpful, because once that's happened, it's a bit late. So I would say sort of February, early March time, and I would look for stems of about 1 year that aren't much thicker than your little finger. That's the ideal size. And then just put them into some sharp sand, which is like heavy, heavy drainage, really, really quick drainage, but very fine material, or very fine potting compost with a lot of sand in it, and put the stems that you've cut round the edge of a bucket, and they should root quite quickly. You shouldn't need hormone rooting powder either to support that. They'll root by themselves. Figs are really easy.
I've got a question from John, who said, I planted some bamboo a year ago. Oh, I've heard about bamboo and how much it takes over. However, he said it was to block my view of the neighbours' lamps on their driveway. I can see why that would be quite useful. But he said it hasn't actually really grown since then. Am I doing something wrong? What can I do to help it grow? Normally when I hear about bamboo and when we cover bamboo on the show, it's how
escaped.
Do we curb it?
Yeah.
The websites say it will get to 40 feet or 12 metres. I'm worried that it won't get that big. John wants more bamboo.
Well, I think it's interesting. So Philostachys, or almost any of them, they can really sulk for a year, particularly if you put them into fairly heavy clay or not very well drained or not very nutritious soil. So they can really kind of stick their bottom lip out and refuse to do anything else. The other thing about bamboo, which is just remarkable, is that once a stem or a culm, as they're called, has grown to its ultimate height for that year, it never gets any taller.
Magical.
So the next year's stems will be taller than year one's stems. And year three stems will all be taller again than year two and year one stems. So that's why people actively manage their bamboo and take out some of the older stems sometimes.
Goodness. Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. You've created a job for yourself,
feed
John.
Feed it and water it and hope for the bit. But I would be very surprised if in this region it gets to 12 metres. Very surprised. 12 metres means in its most ideal tropical situation where it never has a winter check to its growing period.
What would you say is about the maximum?
7-8, probably.
John, I hope that's enough to conceal the neighbours' lamps. The lamps yeah. on their driveway. Got a question in from Pierre. Let's see if we can tackle this one. What can I do with my big rosemary plant? It's going to be dug up for work on the drains. I do not want to lose it.
I would say now would be quite a good time. So cut it back and try to move it. So you can either do it in the spring or do it on a really nice dry day now when it's not actively in growth and you're not going to stress it too much. If it's enormous and it's too big to go in a container, like a really big plant pot, make sure the new hole is already dug before you dig it up. Try not to sever too many of the major roots and move it if you've got a space to put it in. And if you haven't, try to get it into a very large plant pot. Go and put it in your veggie patch. You'd be very happy. I mean, it'll be all over your veggie patch in a year, but at least you'll have kept it.
Tackling your listener questions. If you've got any other questions, then you can send them in. Hester will be back in January as well. But I've been asking you today to tell us a type of Christmas tree if you want to go into the draw today for a lovely gift from Shillinger Garden Centre, which you could then gift on if you wanted to, if you have gardeners in your life, or you could keep for yourself. Know which one I would do, but it's a lovely gardening apron and set of secateurs from Bergman Ball, and we've got this courtesy of Shillinger Garden Centre. You can check a picture of it out on our Instagram and Facebook at the moment, but asking your type of Christmas tree. So just to give you a few of the suggestions that we've had this morning, we've had balsam fir that's come in from Isabel. You're in the draw. Also we've got Douglas fir that's come in from Les. You're in the draw. A Nordman Christmas tree from Sue. Nordman from Telma as well. These are just a few. A Norway spruce. All of these thumbs up, I guess. And then David said a plastic one.
He's not wrong.
It's a type of Christmas tree. He's been creative. Just a few of your entries this morning. You are all in the draw. Just name a type of Christmas tree to go into the draw for that lovely gift that we've got to give away from Shillinger Garden Centre. And thank you so much for all their support and all their lovely giveaways and goodies this year. Hester, catch you next year. Have a great Christmas.
See you in 2022.
This episode of Dig It was recorded at the WRS Studios in Geneva, Switzerland, and brought to you by Shillinger Garden Centre. The competition in this podcast is now closed, but the prize we mention is available at Shillinger, so check them out. If you have gardening questions for our next episode, send them into studio at worldradio.ch.